As you're listening, don't forget to check out the Professional Amateurs Podcast on YouTube. And while you're there, hit like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 36 of Professional Amateurs. Jack is not here, so we have yet another duo episode. Last week, we had all three, but I think the week before that, I missed it. And then maybe even the week before that, Jack missed it again. So, like, what is that? Three out of four pods of just two?
Yeah, it's three of the last four that have only been two, but I guess that speaks to how busy the times have been. But
yeah, I mean, three students.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, we're not making any money off of this thing, so yeah. It's not quite a priority yet. However,
we do have like 26 subscribers on YouTube, so we're getting there.
What would that be? 0.026% of the way to 1,000.
Yeah, something like that. So, amazing. Like, we're getting there. We're on track.
Awesome. All right, how you doing, Ryan? The show goes on.
I'm doing okay. A little bit of break in school, which is nice before exams kind of ramp up, but the hockey interest in my life is not doing well, so that's not fun,
right?
So we won't mention them on this pod today. So
yeah, no, they're gonna get put in the back burners. We're not going to acknowledge the team from Kanata in this episode. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve the words. So instead we're gonna talk about Shane Wright for a bit. Scored a goal in the AHL yesterday. What's the team he's on called? Coachella?
Yeah, the Coachella Firebirds or something.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's a sick name, and the jerseys are kind of cool too. It's just it's kind of odd that it's a completely different colorway than Seattle. But
is it just Seattle's affiliate, or are they sharing with the team? Because I know when Vegas came on, they had to share with like whatever team has the Chicago Wolves. I think St. Louis has the Chicago Wolves.
Yeah.
So stupid.
I think they were sharing with somebody at some point, and they might still be, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Okay. Well, I mean, it ended a long-standing sort of controversy about having, you know, your fourth overall pick who missed an entire season of play in 2020-2021. Yeah. You know, he was supposed to be the first overall pick since he was like 13 years old, exceptional status, drops to number four, sort of as a shocker. And then he makes the team pretty much by default, plays the first few games, plays like, what, 8 minutes a game, 7 minutes a game, if that. And then he just starts becoming a healthy scratch, which based on skill level is acceptable. But when you're an 18-year-old fourth overall pick, you got to be playing games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he saw it like 9 out of 10 games or something. You need to sit, I think, 5 in a row to become eligible for a conditioning stint in the AHL. Mm-hmm. He had been scratched 4 games in a row, and Seattle threw him into the lineup. I forget who against. Basically delaying that clock, that 5-game clock, up until a couple days ago when he sat another 5 games in a row, and now he's in Coachella for 10 days. And presumably those 10 days will come to an end and he will be shipped off to the World Junior Hockey Championship camp, where you'd think he would be like the number one center, actually number two center. Connor Bedard's better for Team Canada at this year's World Juniors. So I don't know if this was a part of the plan for Seattle. It seems kind of like makeshift. It seems kind of like they backed themselves into this plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't really see it. It seems like it was an accident that it worked out this way. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we don't have to go too long on this because it has been talked about a lot, but I frankly think it's ridiculous that he's just being sat games at all. Like, I know there's somewhat of a purpose here to get him into the AHL, and the fact that you can't get those aged players into the AHL is a whole stupid thing of its own.
Yeah, it's a rights thing with the CHL. I think it's a deal between the NHL and the CHL.
Yeah, 100%. But, like, so that sucks, but it's a thing that you have to deal with. Every team has to deal with. The team that we're not mentioning, this pod, had to deal with it with Ridley Gregg. But Like you said, he missed an entire year of hockey, and that basically what was a huge factor in why he dropped in the draft, essentially. He missed a whole year of development, and like for young players, that's a massive blow. We see it with them all the time. And now just to be intentionally sitting him out of games just because you're kind of making up this plan on the fly, it seems absolutely ridiculous to me. I don't know if starting the year in junior would have been better for him, but at least he would be playing games, right?
Yeah.
Another question I have out of this is like, is management and coaching on the same page with this? Because do you have him on the roster if you know the coach is going to utilize him like that? And if you knew that, how on earth do you make that decision?
Yeah, it seems like there's a few situations around the league where the front office and the coaching staff aren't really on the same page with who gets put on the ice. But sorry, I just got a call from someone to kind of ruin my train of thought for a second. What was I saying? Oh yeah, there's a few situations around the league where it just doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle's definitely one of them. But it's definitely a case of, I think if Seattle weren't as good as they are, like they should make the playoffs this year. Like that's a solid roster. If they get anywhere close to average goaltending, that team should make the playoffs. Like they've got a solid roster. I like their forward group a lot. And like quite frankly, Shane Wright is not a guy that should be on your roster if you're gonna make the playoffs in the year of 2023. And so, you know, like Dave Hakstol, like, you know, like he catches his slack as a coach, but I keep on getting messages. You take it over. He keeps getting slack as a coach, but again, he's fighting for his job. Like he doesn't care. Like I don't think Dave Hakstol cares about Shane Wright's development because he's like 90. I would bet so much money that he's not going to be around by the time Shane Wright's like entry level contract is up.
Yeah,
I just don't know if coaches really care that much about young players' development. Like you'll maybe get a few, or if they're brought in specifically for a rebuild. But they're like Hakstol wasn't brought in for a rebuild. Seattle was expecting to compete last year.
Yeah.
And obviously it didn't work out, but now they're competing this year. And so it makes sense from his perspective. But one thing I wanted to bring up to you is does Shane Wright catch enough slack for missing an entire year of hockey? Like that's his fault that he missed that. Like he could have gone overseas and he just didn't.
Yeah.
And I get that like he was told that there would be an OHL season, but like read the room, dude. Like nobody knew anything. You could have easily just gone overseas and like sort of worked out a deal with a team over there where once an OHL season sort of got back underway, you could just come back. Like, I don't know if you've seen that discourse on Twitter. I haven't.
Yeah.
It just seems like all the blame is being directed elsewhere and not at Shane Wright because he's not playing games because he missed a year of development. Like that's his fault.
Yeah. 100%. No, I completely forgot about that angle of it too. And I'm pretty sure I could be wrong on this one, but I think it was Elliot Friedman who kind of brought up that angle about the draft specifically. Like apparently there was some interviews where he was asked directly, like why didn't you go somewhere else and play? And I don't remember like what they said his kind of nature of response was to that, but teams clearly didn't like it.
Well, I think his nature of response was I was told there was going to be an OHL season and then it just kept on getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And that's lazy. That's a lazy excuse. When you're going to be in the NHL, you got to find games to play. Yeah. And I get there was a pandemic, but guys were finding games to play.
Yeah. So it kind of looks like he just accepted that he wasn't going to play and assumed he was going to go first overall, but I don't know that to be true. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird situation. Like it's good, I guess, that that he's like getting his games now in the AHL and he scored. So like
as long as just get him playing consistently.
Yeah. I also have a hard time rooting for the guy. He doesn't seem like he's not very likable for me anyway.
I was all about the like the revenge tour after he stared down the Habs, but now the Habs are fun and he's not playing, so
I don't care.
The storyline has kind of lost its interest for me.
Oh yeah, I 100%. Like honestly, again, it's all because of the COVID, like, last year, lost development stuff. But the 2022, like, draft class is just not doing it for me. Like, even Slafkovský, like, I don't know. I'm not there yet on him. Like, I know he's still in the NHL, and he probably will be for the rest of the year, but I don't know.
Especially when there's so much hype already looking forward to 2023.
And the past draft classes are, like, dominating this year's rookie class. Like, the 2021 draft class, and is 2020, are there any 2020 guys?
2020,
A few, Sanderson. Yeah. Like, all those guys are sort of, like, running away with the Calder race and stuff like that. So it's kind of just, like, there's been no, I don't know, D+1 draftier players, like, really in the Calder race right now. So it's kind of just a bummer because it's not terribly common to see that.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on. What are we going to talk about next? Oh, you wanted to give a little spiel about Erik Karlsson because you watched him play the other night and he is man-possessed.
Yeah, like we've talked about Karlsson on the past couple pods, but I just wanted to mention quickly, like, actually how good he looks. It's not just him, like, picking up random secondary assists here and there and randomly getting to the top of the NHL scoring board. He looks like he's 22 again. I stayed up for the game the other night, and I was able to watch him. It's incredible how mobile he looks again. Like, you could see in the last couple of years where clearly injuries had taken their toll and he wasn't nearly as dynamic of a player, but now he's got that lateral movement back and just the deceptiveness in his skating that we saw for so many years with him here in Ottawa. It's really cool to see again, and I feel like it's just a combination of, one, him being finally healthy again, because I didn't realize that it was kind of well known that he was still, obviously I think everyone assumed that he was dealing with side effects of ailments, obviously from the past couple of years, but I didn't know there was, like, specifically stuff that he's taken the time to recover from this off season. And so I think it's a combination of that and him being the number one guy again. Like, Brent Burns is there. He can just run with it. And I think he loves the confidence. Like, he's a confidence player, and he's got tons of it right now, and it's showing in every possession.
It's sick. I love where scoring is at in the NHL right now. Like, the amount of players that have just, like, obscene amount of points through, what, 17, 18 games this season? Like, it's between 18 and 20 games this year for most teams. And, like, how many guys have more than a point a game? Like, there's at least 25 players. No, there's probably close to 30 players that are over a point a game. Like, which is, like, that's sick.
Yeah.
And just, like, I don't know. Like, look at the names that you just never see, like, this high up in the scoring race. Like, Jason Robertson, Erik Karlsson, Sidney Crosby's back. Like, not that he ever left, but, like, he hasn't really been threatening for scoring titles in the last few years. Tage Thompson is an absolute monster. Jesper Bratt, Matthew Tkachuk did it last year, but he's showing that it wasn't a fluke. Jack Eichel's back. Martin Natchez has 23 points this year. Like, what?
Suzuki.
Pardon?
Suzuki.
Yeah, Nick Suzuki. I was just going there too. Like, Adam Fox and Dahlin are over a point a game. Patterson's at 23 points. Like, Rupe Hintz, Dylan Larkin, John Tavares is back. And a guy I actually wanted to mention, Nico Hischier. New Jersey was in Ottawa the other day. I usually like to pick a guy on each, like, a visiting team and just sort of, like, really zone in on them. Nico Hischier looks like Alexander Barkov.
Yeah.
When he plays hockey. Like, it's insane. Like, and I'm trying not to be hyperbolic in saying that. He plays a very similar way. Like, just big, kind of slow in, like, just long, slow movements, but not slow as a whole. Just defensively sound, super calm with the puck, doesn't do anything terribly flashy, but just he'll lift your stick and take the puck and go the other way without you even noticing. It's insane.
He's your pitcher perfect defensive forward.
Yeah.
Like, he's the next Bergeron in what he does, essentially.
Well, it's like there's Bergeron, and then I don't know, 10 years later with Barkov, and then now, I don't know, 5 years after that is Hischier. And so it's like Barkov and Hischier are probably going to go toe-to-toe for the Selkies over the next 10 years or so. So yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool to see his development path. And especially since he doesn't have to be the number one guy in Jersey anymore, because he never really was, but like he's not thrust into that role that most first overall picks have to be, because they have Jack Hughes for that. So yeah, it's just really cool to see Nico Hischier's development.
Especially
after so many good players were drafted after him, so it kind of seemed like he might have been a bit of a reach. But he's doing exactly what a first overall pick should do, regardless of what Kale McCarr, Miro Heiskanen, et cetera, are doing.
100%. And like, I know we didn't want to talk Devils because everyone's talking Devils, but just it's worth mentioning 13 game heater now. So
yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. Our episode was called 9-game heater last week. I think by the time we post it, unless the Leafs beat them tonight, I think we call it 14-game heater.
Yes, sir.
That's sick. All right. Let's move on. Speaking of the Leafs, they are desperately in need of a defenseman, which is kind of hilarious because their top three highest paid defensemen are out right now. TJ Brody, Morgan Riley, and Jake Muzzin are all injured. Jake Muzzin's on LTIR, might never play again. Morgan Riley also on LTIR, but he's not done for the year, so he'll probably be back in a month or so, or I don't know, but that's the minimum amount that he has to be out, like 24 days or 10 games.
Morgan Riley is expected out 6 weeks.
Okay, so that you can't use that LTIR money. You can't use that because you're going to need it again. But what I think would be interesting is Muzzin is on LTIR, might be LTI retired after, just based off of what I've seen. I think it's like a spinal injury or like something to do with his vertebrae, like something wild like that. He makes 5.6, which is not insignificant at all. And the Leafs have been tied to Jacob Chychrun ever since sort of his trade rumors sparked up. And that was even before Muzzin was injured. So I think especially now that Chychrun is back on the ice, I think we should toss around some ideas for a Chychrun trade. We were texting about it the other day. And I think we both sort of came to the conclusion that it has to be either Leafs or Oilers. Like, it makes too much sense. If it's going to happen this soon, it's got to be one of those teams. I just don't really see a fit elsewhere. Like, I think in the offseason we talked Anaheim because we thought they were a team on the come up. Obviously not. LA, their D is so solid, they don't need any help there. What were some other teams that we threw around in the offseason? Obviously Ottawa, but that's not happening.
No.
What else? St. Louis, I think, was a team that was interested in Chychrun. And they're actually 10-8 now. What the hell? They've won 7 in a row. Okay, so they're back.
They're back.
But yeah, like, there's a handful of teams that are definitely should be in on Jacob Chychrun. But I think between you and I, we came up with Oilers and Leafs. And if you want, maybe take it away from there.
Yeah. I guess we'll start with the Leafs. It does make a ton of sense for the Leafs, not as much as the Oilers. Like, we'll get to that in a minute. But like, just with Muzzin being out all year, you use that money to go get something. You have to. There's no standing pat. And Chychrun not being a rental is good and bad. Like, obviously it's incredible for the team that gets him. They have a great asset on an amazing contract for two more years after this. But you also got to figure that out past this year is part of the problem as well.
Yeah.
And maybe if Muzzin never plays again, it kind of solves the problem. But you don't know that right now. So, but I think the easy mock trade for Toronto would be like Robertson and a first either this year or next year, right?
Would you do, because you know Arizona would push for Matthew Knies.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Robertson in the first gets it done. Like, that guy, what's he? He's been scratched like 7 games in a row. Like, I don't know. I just don't think Nick Robertson is the guy. Like, he's 21 now. He's not, I don't know. He's pushing, no longer being a prospect.
Yeah.
I think Arizona hangs up the phone when Matthew Nye is not included, especially because he's an Arizona kid.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's a good point. I just there's been so much discussion around Robertson, obviously with
he's been in mock trades since he was drafted, yeah, though.
Exactly. So
since he scored, didn't he score 50 in the O? Like ever since he did that, he's been he's been a part of every trade proposal.
Yeah, so it was just top of mind, but Nyes is a very good thought for sure.
I also but think that the
I don't Leafs, think the, Toronto does that. I think they're pretty high.
I don't think so either, because I think the Leafs overrate the fuck out of him. I mean, like, yeah, he's gonna be a good player, but like you're trying to win a cup. You've got like your cup window is another. I don't know. See, isn't Matthews a free agent after next season?
Yeah, that's
like
that's,
go get that, Chychrun, dude.
That was the other point I wanted to bring up too. Like, I don't think as of right now there's a real fear of him leaving, but there could be if this is another disappointing year.
Or yeah, if
like, and there's really no prospects coming to help outside of Nyes. Like, sure, Sandin will get better. If Robertson,
but he's already there though, like.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's there. So it, you gotta, and the problem with this team has always been defense. Like they're loaded up front. I guess you can obviously argue goaltending, but at least over the past couple weeks, they've been getting solid goaltending. So I don't know. They've just been ignoring the defense for like 5-6 years. Essentially, they tried with Brody. It's kind of worked. And then Barry before that just was meh. But they need something. They need somebody to come in and just be a solid defensive presence. And it just hasn't happened for them yet.
I don't know if this is an unpopular take, but if I were Toronto, I know they kind of had to because he's such a mainstay on that team. But I would not have given Morgan Rielly that extension.
Yeah, I was a little bit shocked to kind of see that get done as early as it did, for sure.
Because that might age tough. Like, he's going to be, like, 35 when it's done.
Yeah. Just with them in their cap situation the past couple of years, I thought maybe they might want to play that out a little bit longer for flexibility's sake.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think he ever would have taken a bridge deal or a shorter deal. Like, this is his opportunity to cash in. But
is this the first year of it? Did he sign that last year or the year before? I think he signed that last year during the season. Are you checking?
Yeah, I'm checking. But
so this is his first year of an 8-year deal and he's 28.
I thought this was the last year of his previous deal, but I could be wrong.
That'd be even worse. I think this is the first year.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so it's his first year of an 8-year deal worth 7.5 per, and he's 28 years old. He turned 28 in... Oh, no, he turns 29 in March. Oh, my God. He's going to be 30... He's going to be 37? Mm-hmm. He's going to be 37 when this contract's done? Oh, man, I would not have given that to him. Even when they gave it to him, I was like, ooh, I don't know. Like, good player, but very one-dimensional. Like, that guy, whatever.
And then there's the Edmonton side, if you want to transition.
Yeah, the Edmonton, that's a match made in heaven. Yeah. Like, I remember we were talking about it. And I was kind of looking through teams and I was just like, oh, Edmonton would be interesting. You're like, oh, yeah, Edmonton's the team. And I was like,
yeah,
okay, yeah, I'm glad you're on board. Because, like, their package is so simple. Like, Tyson Barrie makes 4.5. Jacob Chychrun makes 4.6. Like, automatic money in, money out. And Arizona gets a bad player that they can pump up with a bit of minutes and then probably flip for, like, I don't know, a fourth or fifth round or some stupid GM who thinks he's a good offensive defenseman. And you get... I don't know. You'd probably get a first, 2023 first, because Edmonton's going to be expecting to go on a cup run and a prospect like a Broberg or a Holloway. And that should get it done for both teams, in my opinion.
It should be so simple. Like it's too perfect for both teams. I don't really understand why it's not done yet, but
Edmonton has a surprisingly good prospect pool.
Yeah, and I guess teams are waiting.
In theory, because like Holloway and Broberg were both top 10 picks. I think Holloway was 10th, I think. If not, he was a lottery pick. But I mean, like, it's the fit. It is the fit.
Yeah, and we were talking about how it lines up perfectly with the end of Draisaitl's contract and 1 year before McDavid's contract.
Exactly. So
it fits the window that they need to push for, like,
perfectly. Yeah,
so
for sure. And he's not like he was born in, like, not born and raised in Canada, but he's kind of grew up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's not sort of one to shy away, I think, from the Canadian market. Like, didn't, like, when we were talking about him over the summer, he was like in Armpire or something, which is a town like about half an hour away from Ottawa. So
I think, like, there was rumors that he quote unquote like wanted to come to Ottawa. I think that's just a more general thought that he kind of wants to come to Canada. Like, he's not this American player who wants to stay in the States or go home or will block a trade to Canada. He's more than happy to come up north and go to one of these teams.
It kind of feels like, this is kind of super off topic and we'll move on after this. It kind of feels like Chychrun is American in the same way that William Nylander is Swedish. Like, William Nylander straight up, like, raised in Calgary, I'm pretty sure, wasn't he?
Is Chychrun not Canadian?
No, he's American.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Am I wrong about Nylander, though, or is that just something I've always thought? I've always known there's a connection between Nylander and Calgary.
That could very well be true. I don't know.
I'm looking it up. Let's see.
I'm fact-checking this Jacob Chychrun thing.
He's a Canadian-born... Yeah, Nylander is Canadian-born Swedish player. Where'd he grow up? Check that Chychrun thing. He's definitely American. Like, I put significant money on it.
Yeah, you're right. That's crazy.
Yeah, so Nylander was born in Calgary when his dad, Michael Nylander, played for Calgary. And he spent most of his youth in the U.S., like, with his dad.
He plays for Canadian nationally, though. So, or Chychrun? Sorry, he plays for Canada nationally. Chychrun, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, did he play for Canada in the World Juniors?
One of the first things that popped up is him in a Team Canada jersey. So I got to find where he played. But
this is interesting. This is riveting.
Yeah. Unraveling.
Oh, he didn't play in a World Juniors. He played for Sarnia. This is fascinating. He was born in Boca Raton. What a weird come up story. What the heck? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Internationally, but
anyway, there's a connection between USA and Canada. I don't know who he represents internationally, though, but anywho. here's a good segue. Speaking of international play.
Oh, I found it too.
Found what?
I found who he played for. He played for the under 18 Team Canada team.
Okay, interesting. Okay, never mind then. All right. Speaking of international play, Bleacher Report put out their projected 2025 USA and Canada World Cup of Hockey roster. It's never going to happen because it was supposed to be 2024 and they just pushed it back. Not sure why they did. Like, was that not super weird?
It is weird and you got to make it work. But the reasoning is like the international conflict. Like, they don't really know what to do about Russia.
Oh, right? With Russia.
They don't really know what to do about Russia right now. So they're like, we're just not going to do it.
Just push it back. Yeah. And then I think someone floated the idea of just having a USA Canada, like, best of whatever series.
Yeah. Friedman threw that out and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And so Bleacher Report put out projected rosters for the two teams only with players that are in the NHL. So, like, no Connor Bedard. And, like, no, like, I don't know, Luke Hughes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So here is Team USA's roster. Are you ready? Do you have it open so that you can see it for yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Jason Robertson, Austin Matthews, Alex DeBrincat, first line. Matthew Tkachuk, Jack Eichel, Cole Caulfield, Brady Tkachuk, Tage Thompson, Jack Hughes, my God. Johnny Gaudreau, Matty Beniers, Trevor Zegras. And then on D, Zach Werenski, Adam Fox, Quinn Hughes, Charlie McAvoy, Jacob Slavin, Seth Jones. And then in net, Ottinger, Demko, Hellebuck. And then they've got Kyle Connor, Jake Guentzel, Keandre Miller, and Matthias Samuelson. Whatever. Those four guys on the bench as extras.
Like, This is just the Ottawa bias jumping to my.
You think Jake head. Sanderson should be on there?
Well, it 100% over Samuelson as an
extra. And yeah, and Seth Jones. Seth Jones would only make it because he makes a bunch of money.
That's where I was gonna go with it. Like maybe this is my Ottawa bias saying he would 100% should be on that top six.
Matthias Samuelson is like hilarious.
By 2025 for sure, but Matthias Samuelson, you couldn't find a better extra. Like,
yeah, I don't know what that's about. I don't know. He was in the news for a bit because he got a big contract after playing like.
Yeah, and then he got hurt and everyone forgot about him.
Yeah. Okay, here's Canada's roster. Top line, Huberto, McDavid, McKinnon, Braden Point, Matthew Barzal, Jordan Kyrou. That's interesting. Third line, Dubois, Suzuki, Marner, and Marchand, Crosby, Mark Stone. On D, Devin Taves, Kale McCarr, Shea Theodore, Alex Petrangelo, Owen Power, Aaron Ekblad, and then in net, Carter Hart, Tristan Jarry, Darcy Kemper. And then the extras are Morgan Rielly and Noah Dobson. That goaltending trio is tough. Although Carter Hart's kind of a monster this year and is getting better, that goalie trio is tough. I think USA clears.
Yeah, USA is way better.
I think USA is way better.
Way better.
And it's actually kind of like, that's actually so cool to see.
Like, I don't think it's particularly close.
No, I don't either. Because again, we're looking at this team with today's context. Imagine how freaking good Cole Caulfield, Jack Hughes, and Trevor Zegras and Matty Beniers are going to be in 4 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Canada doesn't have any of those guys. They've got Connor Bedard. Like, even if you take a 20, how old would he be? 22? No, 21-year-old, 20-year-old Connor Bedard, throw him on this team instead of like.
Just looking at some of these combos on the States has me smiling. Like Robertson with Matthews.
Yeah.
Incredible. Matthew Tkachuk with Jack Eichel and Cole Caulfield. Like that's just such a cool line.
Yeah.
And then Brady Tkachuk with Tage Thompson. Nobody is fucking.
Jack Hughes though too. Like that's such a weird line because Jack Hughes is so small and doesn't hit.
Well, that's probably why it's created like that. It's two big boys to protect him.
Dude, that line is like insane. Like you've got 6'7" Tage Thompson who probably wouldn't hurt a butterfly. You've got Jack Hughes who's 5'10" and wouldn't hurt a butterfly. One of the best passers in the league. Tage Thompson's one of the best shots in the league. And Brady Tkachuk just fucks everyone up.
And then the fourth line is just pure skill. Gaudreau, Beniers, and Zegras.
And then they've got Kyle Connor and Jake Guentzel on the bench. Like, oh my God, it's so much better than Canada's team.
Kyle Connor on the bench is insane.
Yeah. Dude scored 40 goals last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's just so much better than Canada's team.
Like, replace Seth Jones with, like, a Sanderson or somebody I'm forgetting. And that lineup. Like, I'll have to go back and look at some of, like, the top Canadian teams from, like, 2010, 2014, like, the Olympics or whatever. But that feels like it has the potential to be one of the better, like, international teams of all time, if it ever happens.
Yeah. And, like, Canada's D sucks.
Yeah.
In comparison.
So,
like,
bad.
That bottom four, like, Aaron Ekblad's sick. Taves is sick. McCarr's sick. But Owen Power, like, he'll be really good in a few years. But, like, Petrangelo's already not that great anymore, and he's going to be, what, like 35 by the time this year rolls around? And, like, Shea Theodore's, he's good, but he's not, I don't know, he doesn't really do anything for me on an international squad. And then the goalies suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think USA crushes that.
Yeah, the team is kind of old, too, which kind of shows that there's not a crazy amount of young players for Canada right now that are looking to make a huge impact, like outside of Bedard, who's not here yet.
USA doesn't even have Dylan Larkin on this.
That's crazy.
That is insane. I want to see what guys they don't have on here. Like Jordan Kyrou on Team Canada. Are we sure? Are we sure about that?
I like Kyrou, but like I don't know if there's a particular reason why these lines are created like this, but if you're trying to just go talent all the way down, like if that's how you're ranking them, Mitch Marner below Jordan Kyrou is not.
Oh, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's in terms of like skill level.
I didn't think so either.
Fit.
I didn't think so either, but that's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not one of those, like, I don't know. I cheer for Canada in tournaments, but it doesn't, I don't lose sleep if they don't win stuff, because it's like, whatever. And like, I don't take pride in the fact that Canada wins golds all the time. Like, it's not, I don't care. It's cool, well, but I don't care.
I kind of do, but I think I have the perspective too that hockey getting big in the States is incredibly good for the sport. And like the international stage, if we ever get it back in like a regular capacity, like if that evens out, it's only better for the sport. Like, it's only gonna make it more popular in other places. So,
oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting seeing that, like, the Team USA is, like, for sure better and still getting better. Like, they're just pumping out players. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be the first year in a while that a Canadian player goes first overall. Actually, no, that's not true, because Owen Power just went first overall. But anyway, like, it just seems like more, like, less and less frequently Canadian players are going first overall.
The U.S. National Team Development Program has just been such a game changer. Like,
yeah.
The elevation of that, and like no innovation coming in the Canadian game. And now it's all going to be set back in Canada until Hockey Canada is at least figured out.
That too.
It's going to be interesting to see how that ripples out too.
Yeah, definitely. You got anything else?
No, I think that's it.
No. All right. Another successful episode without Jack.
Yeah.
This is good. I'm happy we touched on the, those international mock rosters. I kind of forgot about that, so I was pumped.
Yeah, that was a good little combo at the end.
Yeah. All righty. All right. Well, if you don't have anything else, I think we should hit that outro, and we'll catch you next week for episode 37.
Sounds good. Hit it.